This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Macca and Paul on Saturday Magazine. Thank you for staying with us. Quite an emotional interview there with Hila Pia, president of Aguda in Tel Aviv. However, we are going to switch things up again. This is a magazine program, so I'm now going to introduce our next guest, Professor Toby Walsh, who is the Professor of AI at University of Sydney. Thanks for joining us, Toby.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. You've written an article, and you're a professor of AI, and we're really keen to understand what is going on in this space. Now, Toby, a couple of things before we jump into the regulations about it, but just for people who don't understand, you know, just how far AI has moved forward, how much is AI affecting people's lives at the moment that we don't know about?
That's a great question, because there's a lot of AI that is part of our lives that is somewhat hidden. There was a study done, it was estimated an average person in Australia probably touches AI in some way during the course of a day 20 times.
Wow.
And every time you're getting directions out of your phone or out of your car, that's a little AI that's knowing about the fastest way to get you from A to B, taking into account the current traffic conditions. Every time you're asking Siri a question, that's some speech recognition, some AI that's understanding what you're saying. Every time you get a film recommendation from Netflix or a movie on YouTube, that's an AI that knows something about preferences, something about you, and is recommending. 30% of the content on Netflix that's watched is what the AI has recommended to people, not what they actually came to watch themselves.
And so with AI moving so fast forward, I'm being naive here, but it's a global phenomenon that doesn't really have lots of global consistency around it. So how is communication working across international borders in the research space particularly, but also from a government perspective on what do we do with this thing called AI in the future?
You're right. I mean, I think the distinguishing characteristic here is speed, the fact that it's happening so fast. Other technologies have changed our lives, and AI is probably going to be as transformative as them. So as transformative as the internet, as transformative as smartphones. Hard to imagine our lives now without those technologies, and they have really had a profound impact upon how we work and how we play and almost every aspect of our lives. And AI is probably going to be the same from what we can tell. It's going to be a similar sort of scale. But I think what is different and what makes it a special challenge is the speed with which it's going to happen. When we connected people to the internet, it took a decade or so to get everyone online. So it didn't happen overnight, whereas AI really seems to be happening overnight. We've already put the plumbing in. And so you just have to point your browser at one of these sites and you can start using them. Or you just have to access the API and can start using it. So in that sense, I think the unique challenge is the speed with which it's going to happen. And as your question hints at, it is a global phenomenon. It's happening not just here. It's happening, of course, in Silicon Valley and China and everywhere else in between. That does pose some challenges in the sense that people ask, well, how are we going to regulate something that crosses these national boundaries? But we regulated everything else. We regulated electricity. We regulated the airwaves. It doesn't seem to me beyond our possibility to be able to, in many cases, actually put in regulation that applies at a national level. And we see that already. We see large trading blocks like the European Union. They're just putting the finishing touches as we speak to the new EU AI Act, which is going to take a risk-based approach to what we need to do with the both the opportunities and the challenges that the technology pose.
Toby, it's Macca here. Perhaps the EU should have got AI to write the legislation.
Well, the funny thing is I woke up this morning to discover that, as usual, it's humans that are getting in the way at the last moment. They've just got to literally to the final steps of approving it, and now France and Germany are starting to raise some objections. So it all depends upon whether humans can be persuaded that this is the right thing to do or not.
So, Toby, is there a race to legislate? Is there really like the EU versus America versus what may be going on in China or other parts of the world? Is there really a race to try and get those rules written by an individual country, or is there collaboration happening at a broader level?
Well, there are international collaborations. We saw just last week, we saw at the UK AI Summit that Rishi Sunak hosted at Bletchley Park, a very carefully chosen place. That's where the first computers were developed during the Second World War, where the German Enigma code was cracked for those computers. So a very symbolic place to have hosted that summit. And there was a well-meaning declaration that the diplomats signed, but like, you know, most international diplomatic statements, it doesn't actually commit to very much at all. What was actually perhaps more significant was at the beginning of that week, we saw the US President, President Biden, sign an executive order to take some steps towards regulating in the US artificial intelligence. That's probably going to have more impact. And then suddenly what happens is that these rules and regulations that are being proposed tend to be quite viral. So if we look back at, for example, the privacy regulation that came out of the European Union, the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR regulation that came out, that's proven to actually not just applied to protect the privacy of people in Europe, but there's lots of countries now, 17 countries outside of Europe, nothing to do with Europe, have something very similar now to GDPR. So regulation tends to be quite viral in this space. So there is a bit of a race to be, if you're the first, you'll set the standard that might be adopted by the rest of the world.
I was going to say, Bletchley Park, I'm a student of history. I wonder what Alan Turing would think about artificial intelligence. What do you reckon he'd say?
Pity he's not with us here. His life ended, sadly, at rather a young age. And indeed, in many respects, he's the grandfather of the field. He wrote what is generally considered to be the first scientific paper. He wrote an AI chess playing program. He is a very foundational figure that one of the greatest prizes in computing is named after him, the Turing Award. And yes, it would be interesting if you asked me what would be my dream dinner party.
Oh, yes.
Alan Turing would have to be there.
He would.
Time magazine named him as one of the most important persons of the century. Indeed, I'm pretty sure, pretty confident, when we look back at the 20th and 21st century and ask, who are the most important figures, Alan Turing is going to be amongst them.
Can I ask, Toby, because we're nearly out of time, so the EU is preparing legislation, the US is, Australia's looking at it. The speed that this is moving at, legislation rarely keeps pace with progress. What you've seen is what's proposed. Do you think it's good legislation, that it covers the areas that, we should be concerned about?
It's a start. It also depends on how that is actually turned into practice, how much resources they give the regulator to actually, and how vigorously they prosecute what's written down on the piece of paper. And there's certainly things to worry about, and certain things that aren't covered there. So in the next year, 2 billion of us on this planet get to vote. Most of the world's democracies are going to elections. Europe, the UK, the United States, many other countries going to vote. And we've already seen, for example, AI-generated deepfakes start to influence the outcome of a number of votes. So I'm somewhat nervous what we're going to see next year with some really consequential votes, particularly the US presidential election, and the misuse of AI-generated content to persuade people to do things that may not be in our best interest.
Toby, as a professor of AI, if you're worried, then we should be very worried, because far more about how those deepfake AI opportunities are going to start influencing people. I'm really sorry we're out of time. If people want to learn more, Toby, about AI, you have a book out, am I right?
Just out, yes. Appropriately enough, the title is Faking It, Artificial Intelligence in the Human World, which looks at some of these, many of these opportunities, many of these challenges that we've just talked about just in the last 10 minutes.
Professor Toby Walsh, thank you for joining us on Saturday Magazine today. Really appreciate your time, and maybe we'll catch up with you again closer to the American elections.
Be a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Stay with us. We've got more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.